ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, chapter 9. The Lord incarnates as Mohini Murti, text number 20 and 21. So we're chanting 20. Kalpaitva pritak punktir. Kalpaitva pritak punktir. Ubhayesham jagatpati. Ubhayesham jagatpati. Tangschopaveshayamasa. Tangschopaveshayangasa. Sveshu sveshu chapanktishu. Sveshu sveshu chapanktishu. Personality of Godhead as Mohini Murti, the Master of the Universe, arranged separate lines of sitting places and seated the demigods and demons according to their positions. Text 21. Daityan grihita kalaso vanchayan upasancharai durastan payayangasa jaramrityuharang sudham. Taking the container of nectar in her hands, she first approached the demons, satisfied them with sweet words, and thus cheated them of their share of the nectar. Then she administered the nectar to the demigods, who were sitting at a distant place, to make them free from invalidity, old age, and death. Purport. Mohini Murti, the personality of Godhead, gave the demigods seats at a distance. Then she approached the demons and spoke with them very graciously, so that they thought of themselves very fortunate to talk with her. Since Mohini Murti had seated the demigods at a distant place, the demons thought that the demigods would get only a little of the nectar, and that Mohini Murti was so pleased with the demons that she would give the demons all the nectar. The words Vanchayan Upasancharai indicate that the Lord's whole policy was to cheat the demons simply by speaking sweet words. The Lord's intention was to distribute the nectar only to the demigods. Here, the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, amongst all the Vaishnavas, with your permission. In this part of Srimad Bhagavatam, the pastime of Mohini Murti is described. Mohini Murti is the incarnation who appeared in order to cheat the demons and to give the nectar to the demigods. Now, we all know the history that the demigods and the demons were churning the ocean, and Vishnu told the demigods, so many things will come from this yajna, from this great effort of churning the ocean. They took Vasuki as a rope, and they took Mandara Mountain as a churning rod, and Kurma was supporting the Mandara Mountain. So many incarnations of the Lord are present. Also, Vishnu, I think, appeared on the mountain also. So, and Vishnu told the demigods, when you engage in this yajna, so many different items will be produced. So don't be attached. Don't get bewildered. Just be patient. And ultimately, you will get the nectar which you're looking for. So in the same way, we are trying to engage ourselves in the Harinam Sankirtan Yajna of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the congregational chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And so many wonderful things are produced. We get free from the sufferings of material existence. All of a sudden, suffering is gone. We can actually see clearly reality. What is material nature? What is spiritual nature? Who am I? What is my position in life? All of a sudden, auspiciousness is created. All of a sudden, opulences start to appear, just like when they were churning the ocean. You remember, it was just short while ago. Beautiful horses came out, elephants came out, beautiful ladies, so many things. And Vishnu said, don't be attached, be patient. Let the demons take whatever they want to take. And you just wait. You just be patient. So in the same way, when we engage in the Harinam Sankirtan, in this process of Krishna consciousness, so many auspicious results are created in our lives. All of a sudden, we get free from pain. We get free from fear, from anxiety. But if we become attached to that happiness, to that freedom of fear and anxiety, all of a sudden, you become, sometimes, devotees actually become prosperous, believe it or not, by engaging in the Krishna conscious process. All of a sudden, so much wealth, so much opulence is created. But then the Lord wants to see, do we become attached to these side effects, to these benefits, or are we patient and we're continuing successively endeavoring to wait for the nectar? So the Lord is waiting and He's seeing, He's observing. So we have to introspect in our own lives. Now is the beginning of the year. An entire year just passed a couple of days ago. And now it's 2010. Who would have believed it, right? Everybody thought the world will stop in the year 2000. I think now it's 2012, isn't it? No, 2012 the world will stop, right? Always, you have to give it a little time, you know, so you can make the movie and the book and a new marketing campaign, you know? You need a couple of years, you know, to launch all your products before the world will stop, before it will cease to exist. So anyhow, we should introspect and see an entire decade has passed, and have I become attached to the lotus feet of Sri Radha Gopinath and their servants? Have I taken shelter of selfless service, or have I taken shelter of the side benefits, the fringe benefits of my devotional practice? Oh, I'm so happy, I'm not suffering anymore. I'm so happy, I'm feeling a little joy. I'm so happy, my bank balance is doing all right. So we have to introspect, we have to see. Why am I here? Why am I practicing Krishna consciousness? Simply because I'm able to counteract some negative effects in the material world? But we should not use, you know, the holy name of the Lord like a cleaning detergent. That we think, oh, this Krishna conscious process is very powerful. Like bang, you know. You can use it like bang. Whenever you have a big mess, you put bang and then you can clean it. So whenever you made a mess in your life, then you put some Krishna conscious practice and then everything will be fine. No, because that is one of the offenses against the holy name of the Lord. So the point is, when you engage in yagya, when we engage in yagya, so many auspicious results are created. So much auspiciousness is produced. But a devotee is very patient and is simply offering all these things back to the Lord. Because they're coming from Him, so in the same way, we can offer them back to Him. Just like in order to worship Mother Ganga, we're taking Ganges water and we're offering it to her. We might say Ganges doesn't need Ganges water because she's got plenty of that. Why she needs our 3 palmful of Ganges water, right? But this is the process. This is the system. How to worship. In the same way, when a child is taking the money which he's gotten from parents and is buying a present for the parents, parents are very pleased. They do not think, oh, what is this? This is my money, you know? How can you do this? You got to go and buy something for yourself. No. Parent is very pleased. Why? Because it is a showing of love, a showing of affection. So Krishna is Bhava Grahi Janardan. He's only interested in our love, in the essence of what we got to offer. Just like when Vidura's wife was offering banana peel, Krishna was eating banana peel. And it was very delicious. Now if somebody offers us banana peel, we most likely would get pretty upset, right? Somebody takes a banana peel and gives it to you, what would your reaction be? Don't you know who I am? where is your mind, you know? But Krishna was eating. Because for him, you know, banana peel, it's all his creation. He's interested in the love, in the bhakti. So Krishna is not terribly impressed by our study, by our austerity, by our vows, by our following of religious practice, by our sacrifices, by our great learning. Krishna is simply interested in our love, in our bhakti. So, in this incarnation as Mohini Murti, the Lord is the most beautiful personality because Krishna is all attractive. Srila Prabhupada explains that Mohini Murti is more attractive than Lakshmi. More attractive. Because Krishna is all attractive. He's the most attractive. So when he appears in the form of a beautiful woman, then everybody becomes attracted. So the demons were very enamored by Mohini Murti. They were very charmed. So much so that they said, okay, we surrender fully. We're so enchanted by your wonderful qualities. So then the Lord said, okay, but that means you will not get upset with me? No. We will not get upset with you. So that means whatever I do, whatever I say, you will follow? Yes. We know you're looking out for our real interest. So then Mohini Murti had the demons sit in one side and the demigods sit in another side. So that shows us something. Where do we sit down? Am I sitting down with the devotees or am I sitting down with the demons? Where do I sit? Where do I feel comfortable? Where do I count myself? And the demigods, they had faith. They knew this is the Lord's arrangement. He said, be patient, so we have to be patient. Of course, some of them got quite anxious when they saw Mohini Murti is taking that pot of nectar and is going over to the demons. What is this? The Lord said, we're going to get the nectar. But internally they knew that the Lord is very tricky and he has his own ways. So Mohini Murti went over to the demons and told them, oh, great heroes. Now you can see, a demon is very happy when he gets glorified. Oh, she has recognized my wonderful heroic prowess, my great strength and courage. So yes, whatever she says, that must be true. That must be all right. So, great demons, you know, you are very exalted personalities. You are so strong and powerful that you're also quite patient. But you know, these demigods, they're very impatient fellows. They're actually very inferior to you. And they were very happy. They said, yes, go on. Continue. She said, that's why, because you are the great personalities, you know. It's just like when you have a junior person, first the junior person should speak, and then the senior person should speak, right? So that is the etiquette. So she said, you know, I'll give them, just to pacify them, a couple of drops of nectar. And then I will come back and I will satisfy all your desires. And they said, of course, it makes perfect sense. It is completely logical. So they were mesmerized. They were completely bewildered and fooled by Mohini Murti. Because Mohini Murti knew exactly their mentality. She exactly knew all the buttons which she had to press. And they were falling for it. Exactly. So then she went over and she gave all the nectar to the demigods. And as it is explained later on, they would not argue with her. Why? Because number one, she had praised them, she had glorified them, she had given them respect. Number two, they did not want to fight with a woman, because even a demon understands that. You should not fight with ladies. So much culture they had. Nowadays everything's upside down. But they would not fight with her. And number three, they had already given their word of honor. So how can you take your word of honor back? It is not possible. If you said, yes, we'll do whatever you want, we'll go along with it, then they have to eat humble pie and just accept it and wait for another opportunity. So, this story is very interesting and very thought-provoking on many different levels. First of all, we can see how Krishna, he has a unique sense of humor and he has a unique sense of taste. He's appearing in all his incarnations exactly in an adequate way to perform that type of activity, which is most suitable for his appearance. Just like when he appears as Narasingadev, as half man, half lion, to kill Hiranyakashipu. It is most suitable, isn't it? If you want to kill a big demon, what is better than a lion form, lion-like form? Or when he goes and he rescues the earth from falling down into the lower realm, he comes as Lord Varaha, as a boar, to pick up the earth from that lowly place and bring her up. And when he comes to cheat the demons, he appears as Mohinimurti, as the most beautiful woman in the entire creation. So the Lord has a unique taste, and he also has a unique sense of humor. Because you think that the Lord will come and he will fight and he will battle with the demons. No. He just appears as a beautiful woman, and they're all finished. They're all completely helpless. They cannot do anything to withstand her charming ways. So Krishna, he appears time and time again. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata bhutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham pritranaya sadunam vinasya chaduskritam dharma samstapnartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. In order to annihilate the demons and to protect the devotees and to establish the eternal principles of dharma, the Lord is appearing millennium after millennium. So, Srimad Bhagavatam explains all these wonderful incarnations, and the Lord has also appeared as Ramachandra to kill Ravan. And he has taken the help of so many monkeys. And what else was there? There were monkeys, there were bears, there were spiders. What else was there? Birds were there also. Squirrels were there. Yes, so many living entities were there helping him in his mission. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada, he has come and he has traveled this world and he has taken all the squirrels and spiders and monkeys and birds and he has touch them and engage them in the Lord's service. Now we may think, no, we are all humans. Even when we read in Bhagavatam, there is 400,000 different human species. We may think, how is it possible, right? Everybody looks the same, isn't it? Have you ever wondered about the 400,000 human species? Has anybody ever wondered? Or you've got it all figured out? But when you travel a bit and you see, actually there are 400,000 different human beings. Just like now, I just came from New Zealand and Australia. And in Auckland, in New Zealand, I was on the street. And there was one Maori couple. Maoris, they're the indigenous, the original inhabitants there from that area. And they're very big people. And some of them are very scary people, you know. So there was a man. He had tattoos all over his body. His entire body, even his face, was tattoos, you know? Like those big, ghastly, ferocious ones, you know? So I went up and wanted to give them a book, and he went, bah! You know? That was his thing, you know? That was his bath. I saw him do it to a whole bunch of people, and he got great joy out of that. But his lady, she just graduated and got her diploma, her degree. So they were dressed in black with the hat and the whole thing. So I went up to her and gave them Bhagavad Gita. And she looked at me and smiled and said, Jai Prabhupada. She said, I met Srila Prabhupada when he came here. And I have Bhagavad Gita. I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I love prasadam. So you could see how then she took Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, part 1. And he was just, he couldn't really grasp what was going on, because it was just a different frequency, a different type of energy. He could not relate to the whole thing, even the book. For him, it was just not happening. But she was very happy. She took the Bhagavatam. She gave a donation. And I could see how this person's life had been touched by Srila Prabhupada. Huh? This person just had met Prabhupada in one occasion. And even 35 years later, she's still so ecstatic and blissful. Just seeing the book makes her beam with ecstasy. Huh? So we can see how the pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, he has studied the Lord's teachings and the Lord's strategy, the Lord's methods. Just like one time, Giriraj Maharaj, he asked Srila Prabhupada, if we are following this Krishna conscious process and we're chanting 16 rounds and we're following four regular principles, will we go back home, back to Godhead? Will this movement prevail? And Prabhupada said, yes. If you're doing so sincerely and you use your intelligence and good organization, then this movement will spread. And so many people will go back home, back to Godhead. So Prabhupada has adopted the same techniques to touch the lives and hearts of so many monkeys and squirrels and spiders, which ordinarily we might think these people are, you know, they're very unfortunate. But in the Bhagavatam it is stated, Kirata Hunindra Pulinda Pulkasha Abira Yavana Kasada Yadaya. It is stated that even such classes of people, is explained there, the Russians and the people from the mountains. What else? What other types of species are there? Greek and Chinese, Kasa race. All these people, they can become fortunate by the mercy of the pure devotee. So, when we meet somebody and we tell that person, here is Bhagavad Gita, what do we hear many times? Oh, I already have this. Oh, I already know this. Oh, you know, it's all good. My parents, they were already member of this. I don't need to do this. But we have to use our God-given intelligence to adopt different ways and means and techniques. Krishna was not appearing in his Swayam Bhagavan form and he was telling everybody, okay, here I am, surrender. No. He adapted to the occasion, right? He exactly blended in. He knew the mentality, the mindset of the people. So what do we have to do? We have to use our God-given intelligence to adapt our words and our presentation in such a way that the person can appreciate it. Just like if you give somebody a book and you tell them what they think that they already know, they don't want to hear. But if you ask them, for instance, you say, this is about meditation yoga, teaches you how to get free from stress. Have you heard of stress before? Now, why is it that half of the audience starts smiling? Because it pushes a button, right? It pushes a button in you emotionally. Stress, yes, that's something which is very much present in our daily life, right? So we can relate to that. So we have to learn how to use words and means to reach people in order to reach their hearts. Now you might say, this is all external, this is all not necessary. We can simply go up to people and either take it or leave it. It's like Krishna, he was saying, Yetavam prapadyante tamstatai vajamyaham. Surrender or be destroyed. Right? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was more merciful than Lord Krishna. He said, even though you may not want, even though you might be so far away from Krishna that you could not be further away if you try to, like Jaga and Madai. They were doing every terrible activity which you can imagine, and which you should not imagine. They were doing it all. But by the mercy of Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, they became saved. And they got Gauranga Mahaprabhu's mercy. So in the same way, when we want to become a humble servant, a spider, who is helping Lord Ramachandra to build his bridge to Lanka. When we want to become a small recipient of the mercy of our Guru Maharaj, then we have to tax our brain, use our intelligence, how we can make Krishna consciousness attractive for the person who we are facing. Just like the Lord, he was doing in the same way. It's like Krishna appears as the holy name. Everybody likes singing and dancing, right? Even the ruffians. Even you go on Harinam, sometimes you have people, they're not very, pretty low-class people, sometimes intoxicated people, but they will chant and dance. Because the holy name is all attractive to everybody. Prasadam, it is attractive to everybody. And in the same way, also, these transcendental literatures, they're attractive to everybody. But we have to learn the art of how to presenting it in such a way that the people can actually take it. Otherwise, it is our shortcomings, not the shortcomings of the holy name or of the prasadam or of the books. But because we have not learned the art, the ways, how to relate to the person. It's like I was going door to door in Australia with the congregation. We're taking all the congregation out to go door to door. This is the new strategy. Because how many brahmacharis do we have who can go out and distribute books? I don't know how many went out in this marathon. Total? Anybody knows? Everybody. Everybody went out. But what would you rather have? 500 brahmacharis distributing 10 books a day, 5 days a week? Or you rather have 10,000 people doing 10 pieces of literature a month? What would you rather have? Now I know it's early and some of you have not had breakfast yet, but what would you rather have? Who wants first one? Who wants the brahmacharis? Who wants second one? The 10,000 people. It's great audience participation today. I want both, You should always ask for third alternative, because there is always a third alternative. Now, I've heard we've done over 60,000 Mahabooks in Prabhupada Marathon. This is wonderful. This is glorious. This is spectacular. But just imagine, C.C. Radha Gopinath Mandir and congregation has how many active members together with all the satellite centers? 10,000? 15,000? Let's say 10,000, just to get a roundabout figure. If everybody takes 10 pieces of literature, small books, medium, big, whatever, and distributes 10 pieces of literature a month, that means every third day you distribute one piece of literature. That's quite possible, right? Every third day you meet one person who you think, yes, I should give them something. Then how many books is that? That's 1 lakh a month. Just like that. Very easy. You may think this is impossible. How can we do this? The people, they will not take. But every day, how many persons do you meet every day who you feel inspired to share Krishna consciousness with them? How many persons? 2, 5, 10? Minimum, right? Minimum. Just like I was flying here yesterday from Wellington, New Zealand, through Sydney and Singapore. And on every flight, on every leg I took, I took a few small books with me. And whoever Krishna puts next to me, I give them a book. And they're so happy. Because, they're stuck in an airplane for 4 hours, for 8 hours, for 5 hours. They can't move. There's nothing to do. I had one Indian person. He left India 40 years ago. Migrated to Australia. And this is the first time in 40 years he went back to Calcutta to visit his father's grave. He's Roman Catholic, but quite knowledgeable about our tradition and our culture. And for the whole flight, he was there reading Perfection of Yoga, the whole book. And he's so happy to get this book. Then on the next flight, I had a captain who was in a boat building a port in Orissa. He said, yeah, sure, I can give you a donation. How much? I said, usually people give 1 million. But if you cannot do that, then you just give whatever you like. And he gave me 1,000 rupees for a small book. So you might think, what is this, a million? But if I tell you, I've got the cure for cancer, the cure for AIDS, the cure for selfishness, the cure for greed. I got a panacea, the remedy, how to spread peace in the world. How much is it worth to you? Can you put a price to this? If you're in trouble, you're in misery, and somebody says, look, I got the solution, how to change it, to make everything favorable. How much is it worth to you? What do you think? So if we value these books, we treasure these books, we taste the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam every day by reading, by studying, by discussing with other devotees, then the question how much, that is not a question which is asked, right? Just like if you want an item, you want it. It is not a question how much. The question is, what's in it for me? What do I gain from this? What is my benefit? So, preaching Krishna consciousness is not a stereotype activity. It is not that we just go through certain routines and through certain motions. Just like now we can see, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, he has exactly understood what is the strategy, what is the necessity to preach Krishna consciousness. People want to read biographies. They want to read stories. They want to read action. What happened? What's your life story? What's your experience? How did it make you feel? How did you come to Krishna consciousness? What was your journey? So, in the same way, in our own lives, in our own way, in presenting Krishna consciousness, we should tax our brain. We should use our intelligence. What can we say? What can we do to attract people to Krishna consciousness? It is not something highly complicated or something very esoteric. The first and foremost thing which we have to do is chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Because when people see you are happy, you're smiling, they will wonder, why are you so happy? We're doing Harinam in Melbourne, in a big square. And the Dalai Lama, you know, this World Parliament of Religion, was just in Australia, in Melbourne. And there was thousands and thousands of people who came for this symposium of the world religion. It's every 5 years. And the devotees were out on the street doing Harinam. And so many people were sitting there. And I saw how they were discussing amongst each other. One was saying, these people are very happy, you know? And the other was saying, nah, I don't believe it. The other one was saying, yeah, look how she's smiling. Look how they're dancing. I mean, nobody pays them money, you know? I heard how they were talking amongst themselves like that. So if you are happy in Krishna consciousness, that is the most convincing thing. Just be happy and blissful. But it is so difficult. We think it is so extraordinary. It is so foreign. Because we are so used to living a life full of struggle and stress and tension. But it is possible to be happy in Krishna consciousness, even in Bombay. I have seen this morning with my own eyes. Nobody pays these people to dance and chant. Very blissful, very ecstatic. So the proof is there, but why can't we present it to others so they can accept it? Because we're still stuck in our own little box of I, me, and mine. Ishwaroham Mahambogi. The ahankar is so big that we are consciously, that we are always self-conscious. We are always thinking, oh, people will look at me. They will say, why is he dancing? Why is he dancing? How can you dance like that? How can you be happy like that? Should be illegal, you know? Like that. So, we have to step out of our own little miserable box with our mind and our false ego and just practice Krishna consciousness in a very straightforward, in a very simple-hearted way, and then we can actually share this great knowledge and this great happiness with others. Because people are looking for a remedy. People are scared. They're uncertain. Their entire ego has been shattered, you know? Dubai is down, right? Or now it's up again? Always up and down and up and down, constantly. But the entire belief in the system has been very much destroyed, has been very much shattered, right? People, they're very uncertain. They don't know what's going to bring, what's the future going to be like. So in such times of uncertainty, we have to concentrate on the job at hand, at the present. What are we doing right now, right here? We may say, yes, I want to go back home, back to Godhead. Yes, I want to do that too. Well, what I'm going to do today and tomorrow? What's my goal for this year? Do I have a goal? What do I try to achieve? So, if we take the mission of Srila Prabhupada to heart, and in our own little humble ways, we try to show some gratitude, some appreciation to Srila Prabhupada, because that is meant when it says that we should be chaste. We should be chaste followers of the founder Acharya. So that is a quality, it is chastity, which is not only there in ladies, but it is there for everybody. Every person who is sincere in spiritual life and wants to be a disciple has to be chaste to the instruction of the guru. So we should not think, yes, this was good in the 60s and 70s, but now so many books have been distributed. Now we have to devise some other type of strategy and method. No. The strategy is given. We can adapt it according to time, place, and circumstance. But let us absorb ourselves deeply in this Harinam Sankirtan process, and then our lives can become fortunate and we can make other people fortunate. In Sydney, I met another person of Indian origin. He moved to Australia when he was 5 years old, and now he's about 35. So he said that he visited the temple, because he's living in that neighborhood, North Sydney, for 3 times. But every time he went, the altar was closed, and he didn't get darshan. And now he knows why. He says, I was too proud. I could not actually, you know, benefit from this. But because everything was going good for me. I had a good job, good position, nice enjoyment, my friends, my family and everything. But when I was in great difficulty and I actually became a little humble and a little inquisitive, I came to the temple and all of a sudden the altar was open. And there they also have Radha Gopinath in Sydney, Australia. And he said, all of a sudden, the Lord is there. And he became so touched that he immediately started practicing Krishna consciousness. Then when his grandparents moved to Australia, he bought them a full set of Prabhupada's books. Because, you know, many people, they're bored just to watch the Hindi movies. So they get the books. So they're reading the books. So he was very happy. He saw how Krishna consciousness had saved him from the greatest danger, the greatest calamity, to lose his own soul, to lose his own quality in life. So, in our own lives, so many times, we're in front of Krishna, we're in front of Guru, we're in front of Vaishnavas, but because our heart, our mentality may not always be very devotional, we may not always be ready to receive that mercy. So that's why sometimes we feel like, oh, why is there no access? Why there is no, just like you want to access, you have to have the password, right? You always need the password. Otherwise, there is no access. So, what is the password? Trinadapi sunichena taroriva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. By feeling ourselves more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, serving all other Vaishnavas, then we can chant Hare Krishna without stopping. That is the password. If ever you feel in your life that I can't access this, you know, I'm reading, but somehow I'm not penetrating. I'm just staying on the surface. You know, my eyes are moving, My mind, my intelligence is saying, yes, I know this story. I heard this story before. But I can't really... Have you ever had that experience? You can't really treasure it. You can't really dive deep into the meaning of it. You're lacking the access. Just remember this shloka. Trinadapi sunichena. Then with that, we can access. We gain access. Thank you very much, Agarshil Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you for inspiring me personally for book distribution. Prabhuji, if one feels that, there are two options. One is living outside such a congregation. When I say outside, I don't mean a brahmachari or, outside this congregation and doing better service, especially related to book distribution. And the other option is, living with Radha Gopinath, Mandir devotees. Again, not as a graha, not as a brahmachari, but living within the congregation of Bombay. But which is very good for the family, for the children, and... it is so easy to follow Krishna consciousness. But then the amount of service, if we feel, will be better if we are outside, what should we do?
It's called a false dichotomy. Just like, do you want the brahmacharis or the congregation? It's a false dichotomy. Your mind puts you before this choice, right? It's a false dichotomy. There is always third option. There is so many options. You just have to use your intelligence. Like if I ask you, what do you want? Do you want the samosa or the rasgulla? Huh? What do you say? I want both, right? That's what any smart person will say, isn't it? Huh? Why can't I have both? Isn't that what you feel? Huh? You want to have both, right? So you're all very smart and intelligent people. You figure it out. Krishna has given you all the intelligence. It's all contained in this package, So you figure it out. If you know what you want, you know how to get it. It's like you put a little bit of sugar up here. You can be for sure. In no time, you will have a whole highway of ants going up there, getting that sugar. Why? Krishna has given the intelligence. So if you want Krishna's nectar, and you want the Sangha of the devotees, and the association of Radha Gopinath and their servants, and you want to engage in service, and at the same time perform your duties nicely, Krishna will give you the intelligence. If he has given the intelligence to the ant to figure out that there is sugar up there, I think he has given you the intelligence to figure it out. What do you think? Okay. Thank you. I was already getting scared here. Sorry if my class didn't make much sense this morning. I'm still somewhere over the water. It will take some time to catch up. Any other questions? Thank you for your patience. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Premanandi. Yeah.